And good morning, listeners. It's a lovely Wednesday here in Hudson. This is Holly Tanner, your co-host of the right, oh my God. Hi, Ed.
Hello, Ed. Good morning.
Of Something to Talk About with my co-host, Justin Weaver. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Holly. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good now. I'm better. I've got that out of my system. That's great.
It's important.
It's very important. Hello, Ed. And we're joined today again with Rob the Regular. He's turning into Rob the Regular. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Holly.
Good morning. Thanks
How
for
are
being
you?
Here again. I'm well. How are you?
We just scrape him up and pull him in, you know, with us every other Wednesday.
It's odd. Every other Wednesday, he's outside the door, the station.
I just sit in the vestibule waiting for them.
It's the pastries.
It is the pastries. Oh, goodness. Well, thank you for listening, everyone, for joining us. This is a very exciting episode we have today. It's the first in a series of interviews that we will be conducting with the mayoral candidates for the city of Hudson. So we're joined today. Ooh, I know, it sounds so exciting. You're a mayoral candidate. So we're joined today by the Democrat candidate, Tiffany
Martin Hamilton.
Martin Hamilton. I always want to flip your name, so I apologize.
I just thought
that.
You were in the middle of a burp, so I thought I'd help you out.
No, I was thinking, right? Oh, Tiffany.
Good morning.
Gotta keep it fair, honey. Gotta keep it fair.
Thanks for being here, Tiffany.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're so excited you could join us. Yes, I know. I have to speak that way. I like looking at the guests that better. So welcome.
Thank you so much.
So how does it feel to be a candidate?
It's exciting. It's insane.
Is this your first attempt at public office?
It's not my first attempt at public office. So I have gone through two election cycles for the school board. I was elected at first in 2012, and then I was elected to fulfill an unexpired term of someone who is no longer on the board, and then I ran again in 2013. So I've actually been through two elections, but it's a very different animal than running for mayor.
Right. Yeah, it is. It is.
So what has prompted you to run for mayor? There had to have been some issues that you've seen or some things that you needed to have changed that you didn't feel were being addressed by previous perhaps mayors or people in power. What's the driving force behind this candidacy?
Initially, it was my take on the level of discourse and the just the way constituents are treated by city government. It really bothered me on a very basic level, and I wanted to run to first change the political climate in Hudson, because it's at this point it's not very inclusive. People don't feel encouraged to participate. And that was something that I wanted to change. There are large pockets of this community that don't have a voice, right, or that don't feel trusting of the system or comfortable enough to come to meetings. And it's all about empowering every person to participate and to be a part of planning for Hudson's future.
Well, and you've kind of laid down the ground rules and, speaking to what you would do as mayor with making politics and just to make it a little bit more tactile and approachable to everybody. You've started Hudson Forward, and I think that concept may be to make it a little bit more transparent to everyone. Can you talk a little
yes.
bit about that?
Sure. So I co-founded Hudson Forward last July, and I think that in many ways it's a very successful model. What we did with Hudson Forward is put out a very widespread message before the first meeting. Everyone come with your issues, your concerns, your hopes for the future. We'll discuss it as a group. And so I was really there as a facilitator. It wasn't my group. It was something, it belonged to everyone. So through the first couple of meetings, everyone came, they introduced themselves, they explained why they were there, and everyone talked about at least one thing that they wanted to see done in Hudson. And then at the next meeting, we compiled everything, sent it out, let everyone have a chance to think about it. And we voted as a group on our primary initiatives. These are the things that are most important to us and things that we feel we can accomplish. So none of those things were, it's not my wish list, it's everyone's wish list. And I think that that's something that we can definitely bring to City Hall. It's even as the chief executive of the city, you have the ability really to bring people together, to be a uniter and to be a facilitator. There are a lot of moving parts, but if you have someone who has a vested interest in making sure that every person and every group is represented, a lot of very positive things can come from that. So I would like to definitely incorporate that model at City Hall. And I also think that there are a lot of people that I've met through Hudson Forward who are extremely talented and smart and have great things that they can contribute to the city. And we do have this wealth of brilliance and energy in our community. And if we give people the opportunity to contribute in whatever way they can, maybe they're web designers, maybe they're park planners, maybe they are environmentalists, or engineers. These are all people that we can bring into the fold and say, great, you have these ideas, help us accomplish this.
What I've seen online with Hudson Forward, one of your goals that you set out was to raise enough money to get a dog park in
yes.
Hudson.
Yes.
I see that you set out a goal of $10,000 and you guys have gotten up to $6,500 so far?
We're at $6,500. Realistically, it will cost more than $10,000. So we've talked with different organizations that have set up dog parks in the area. I think one of the best examples is the Bunker Hill Dog Park in Athens. That is a 1-acre space. It cost them about $25,000 to do their build out. I believe that we would be able to get a lot of the materials and the labor donated to us or partially donated to us. Which would be...
I think we have a call.
I hear a call.
It's Snoopy.
it may or may not be for us. Carry on.
Sorry, I completely...
That's never happened here before.
It did so. You called.
Yeah, I called.
So we did a pretty heavy initial push to raise the funds. And after that, it's been on ice a bit because we've gone through a couple rounds of proposals that have been submitted to the city. Until we have an actual space, until the city commits to a space, we can't really do the final push. Mm-hmm. But we know that it's very attainable. People are extremely motivated. A lot of people want a dog park. And we know that this is something that we can do at no cost to the taxpayers, as they do it in Athens.
Where would the dog, did you have a spot, a location for the
well,
park?
Well, the city has floated a couple of locations in the second ward. And I don't want to speak on behalf of the city because ultimately it's their, I would say it's their decision when they're willing to share that information with everyone. But we haven't, our last proposal went in, I think it was about 3 or 4 months ago, and we haven't received anything back. So...
And this is to the planning or?
It was actually submitted to the mayor's office with copies to the Common Council.
Okay. Yeah.
Or at least to a couple members of the Common Council. Okay. So once we hear back on that, then we can do the final push and hopefully get the dog park launched. We found actually Don Moore shared with us that there, in terms of liability, which is a big question that
sure.
people have. It turns out that dog parks really, when you add a dog park to your city, it doesn't result in any increase in the city's insurance, and the city would carry the insurance on that. So liability is not a big issue.
It's a surprise.
It is. Yeah. And in my discussions with the folks from Bunker Hill Dog Park in the six or seven years that they've been there, they've only had one incident, and it was not so much dog related, but related to interpersonal issues between those who visit the dog park and not related to...
So no dog fights?
Correct.
Or,
correct.
Which is, yeah.
Yeah.
Dogs
so,
usually tend to be more like their owners, so
yes,
anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and this there are so many benefits to the community. There are just a lot of social benefits. If you look at...
Well, yeah, I don't want to put down my picnic blanket in a big pile of poop.
Right, or where even not even
so
a big pile
upkeep,
of...
So that would be upkeep.
Right.
But the dog park would be solely would, for...
Well, right, and
dogs,
it would
not
be
to picnic, Justin. You go right. elsewhere for that.
Yeah, you're not picnicking in the dog park.
Well, he could, but
you may not have a dog, but you don't have to bring your date.
At your
what so date?
Later.
You must have been following Facebook, honey. I got no more dates. I'm fresh out of dates.
Poor Justin.
Yeah, fresh out. That's a.
But right, and so would that be, you know, obviously there would be that
the,
issue.
There would
know,
be maintenance,
so
and
clean,
there would be,
right?
So the structure of a dog park typically is that there's a board that oversees the park. They're there to schedule maintenance, make sure that maintenance occurs, and deal with any issues that occur within the park. So if there's someone who uses the dog park who has an aggressive dog who keeps coming
right,
back,
right.
The board could... As a whole,
to address that,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Which is good.
We do have a Facebook question. If you'd like to field a Facebook question,
I would love to.
From Keegan.
Hello, Keegan.
Hi, Keegan Squared. He says, "How does one go about being tough on crime, but also maintain a productive police and community working relationship?" Good question.
It is a good question, and I think that. I really have to commend Chief Moore. I think he's done a phenomenal job in his time with HPD, and I would hope that he would continue that for many years to come. I think the key to resolving a lot of the issues we're seeing in the community is community policing. So having police out on foot, interacting with the community, and building that relationship, mm-hmm. rebuilding the trust, building rapport, because that, when you start to break down those barriers, people feel, when something does happen, people feel a lot more comfortable coming forward,
right.
And, you know, and not providing information, but assisting with getting sticky issues resolved.
Well, at least speaking with the communicating.
Yes.
It's a back and forth.
Yes.
Right. And I agree. I think Chief Moore has done an excellent job with that. I don't know if you see, you know, issues with the... between the communities, minorities, and you know, those issues, if that's there, if it's something you would want to address.
Well, I think that it's an issue, obviously, nationally, and we do feel echoes of that in the community. But I don't think it's anything that we can't get past. And with what Chief Moore has done with going out and holding community forums, that's a great step in the right direction. That's exactly what we need to be doing, and he is so on top of it. So I know that we're getting there. We also have the program that Greg Mosley is running, where he's bringing
I was going to ask about that. Yeah,
right. So he's bringing members of the minority community in to become
police officers,
right?
Right?
It's
like a stepping stone,
right? It's a stepping stone to becoming police officers, but it's getting some practical experience,
right?
Nice.
To learn what a day in the life of a police officer is actually like, and then providing a pathway to becoming a member of law enforcement,
right? Along with I think Supervisor Hughes was also involved.
Yes,
in
he
that.
Was.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah, and I think too. I don't know if they're state police reps, but I know Sheriff Bartlett was on that committee as well. So, yeah, definitely a good initiative.
Yes.
I have two personal questions.
Oh,
I'll
my.
Do this throughout the interview. First of all, how tall are you?
Okay, if I say 5'1.5", my husband will laugh at me forever. So I'll call it 5'1", and we can argue that inch. But
that's funny.
I think I'm 5'1".
What is it with husbands and height? My husband's the same way as me. I'm 5'7". That's what my license says, but he insists.
Yeah, but you
it's
run
5'6".
DMV, so that could say anything, honey.
So she's
that
like,
doesn't count.
5'11".
He's forgetting where he works too.
Oops.
Wow.
I did.
That's how we roll. It's all good.
So you can ride the rides at the fair.
I can ride the rides at the fair.
Speaking of the fair is going on. Dutchess County Fair is going on right now.
Yes.
And it runs through Sunday. Then next week we have the
Columbia County Fair
out in Chatham. So all of you people here in Hudson and the surrounding areas, go take advantage of all that. And my other question was, what's your favorite movie of all time? These are questions that politicians are not asked, but it's very important to me.
My favorite movie. There are a lot of favorite movies. Are we talking an 80s movie? Because
whatever you want.
Yeah, whatever. All of mine are from the 80s. So.
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, we're products
we're of
the
80s. Age.
Yes, we're all 29 and holding.
Yeah.
So obviously, I could sit anytime. The Breakfast Club or...
Don't you forget about me.
Any John Hughes movie, I will gladly make some popcorn and sit and watch.
It's a date.
I happen to love Office Space.
Office Space.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
It's 20.
You have it? Let me borrow.
It's 21 years old now, which is shocking, but it's kind of a
It's a classic.
It's a funny look at the life of working in a technology cube. And so it was something that I very much related to. It's a must see.
Which is a great segue, because what do you do now? What do you currently do?
I'm a mom.
You're a mom.
Which I do 24 hours a day.
Yes.
I have worked in the technology field since 95. So 20 years at 29. Wow. So I started when I was nine. When I was nine, I got my first job in the
technology. Very motivated.
Field. Yes. My focus is on operations management, so it's on management of people and process and technology. I have a very heavy background in finance, so the only time that I took off in the last 20 years from doing the technology world, I did about a year and a half as manager of financial reporting for a private equity group called Moose Partners, and we managed the financial assets of the family that owned Chanel.
Wow.
And that was an incredible experience. And it it was very deep in the weeds of finance. So it was managing a lot of moving parts every single day, which I loved. But aside from that, I have a very strong background in human resources. I do a lot of technical recruiting, which is what I'm focusing on now, doing technical recruiting on an independent basis. And I took some time off this summer to spend with my kids and work on the campaign. I thought I would have a lot more time to spend with my kids, but as it turns out, the campaign is a 5 to 10 hour a day gig.
Yeah, it really is. And being a mom myself, and also a candidate every 4 years, and a person involved in these elections, it is like, are you finding ways to balance the home life and the, I know my kids still say, you know, oh, an event, okay, another event.
Yeah.
You know?
My kids have started
Where
coming
are we
to
going?
Meetings.
Yeah.
Now they
know. Chicken. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. It can be a cord for women, and I don't know if you've noticed that dichotomy yet of, you know, the difference between men in politics and women in politics.
Oh, yes.
And I do have to say, as the only female countywide elected official in Columbia County and one of the few females involved in politics on either side of the fence, you know, I do think it's refreshing that you know,
ooh,
a woman, another
caller,
you're bringing them in too.
Excellent.
You know, that women are involved. Was it a consideration at all for you, like, you know, speak to that?
Well, it was certainly something that that occurred to me, that there's only ever been one female mayor in Hudson, and she was appointed when her husband passed away while in office. It's very much a male-dominated scene, and I'm not intimidated by that. I find that the tenor of some of the you know, the discussions, the whisper campaigns, it is not what you would see if a male were running. You don't get asked the same types of questions.
Like, how tall are you?
How tall are you? We didn't go into how much do you weigh, so that was good.
Did you get asked about your hair? Has Rob given you? I remember the first year I ran, my hair was a big issue for some male advisors, and I'm like, really? Does, you know, so-and-so get questioned about his hair?
Right.
Probably not.
Now you have beautiful highlights, so it's
water
off the duck's back now.
All right.
Well,
it is different for a female.
It is, and hair has interestingly been a hot issue because, you know, I've worked in technology for 20 years, so I haven't had to wear a suit and go to an office, and I have been every color in the rainbow because it's fun.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
if my kids say to me, I'd like to see your hair purple today, then I've been able to do that for them. And I've caught some flack about that. People are a little cheeky about it, but, I take it all. It is fun.
Yeah.
And honestly, I take that all in stride because it's something that, those are things that I'm very glad I've been able to do. You know, I've had a lot of freedom, a lot of flexibility, and the ability to express myself and not feel, like I'm being held back.
Do you see the mayor's role as a full-time job?
It's a full-time job for sure. There's so much work to do. And I think if you do it right and you go into it with the right intentions, it's a minimum of a 40-hour-a-week job. Mm-hmm. And I also see it as there's a mayor's aide position, and I see that almost as more of a lieutenant mayor position, because I think it has to be someone really strong that you can that is your counterpart. Not you know, I'm sure as Gene Shetsky has been for Mayor Hollenbeck.
Right, right. Now we do want to ask about, and you mentioned your background in finance. Mm-hmm. So is there something along those lines? Taxes are always an issue mm-hmm. anywhere in New York State, and I'm sure in the city of Hudson as well. So do you have some thoughts on finances?
I do. Taxes are definitely a major issue here. And it's been a focus. I know that that the mayor came out with a 0% increase in the first year and a 1 and a, I think a 1.7 in the mm-hmm. following year. So it's increased less than 3% right. or around 3% in 3 years. Which is very commendable. Having said that, it is, we also have some very large expenditures looming that we are well aware of, and we need to be well prepared for them. So I think that we have to be creative with what we have. We have to look at expanding our tax base. And I think that there are ways that we can protect the most vulnerable populations in Hudson from heavy tax increases. So I have some thoughts around that, which I'll be talking about more as the campaign rolls on.
Do you have any plans for employing locals?
Yes.
Because that's a big issue for, you know, a lot of people that I speak with that are born and raised. You know, you have all these humongous businesses moving into town, but they're hiring from outside of town. So I didn't know if you had any plans.
Are they really?
There are some businesses that will that set up shop here, and then people move here to take on roles here. But yes, there are actually quite a few programs that are already out there that we already fund with our tax dollars that not many workers or businesses take advantage of, I think primarily because they're not aware of them. So Workforce New York that runs out of Columbia Green is a perfect example.
Sure.
You as a business are able to align yourself with Workforce, and Workforce provides all of the training and then gives a local worker the opportunity to get trained and get placed for 6 months. A portion of the salary is paid for by Workforce, so the employer the role is subsidized, and at the end of that, hopefully that turns into a full-time role. And there are also a lot of opportunities to create more mentorship, more apprenticeship programs. I know that businesses want great people, and they're willing to take the time to train people. Mm-hmm. So it's more a matter of City Hall being a hub and connecting people in the community that might not otherwise be connected. And that would be very powerful, not only from for the business community, for everyone who lives here, for the working community and the community as a whole, because it would be another avenue to bring us together rather than perpetuate the divide that exists.
Great. Well, we do have more to talk about with Tiffany and Rob, who's still here, sitting very quietly and patiently.
Hi, regular Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Hello.
We're going to take a little break. We asked Tiffany which song. We take a break in midway in the show, and we have a musical selection. And we asked Tiffany today what song she would like to hear, and she chose Aretha Franklin, Respect. So we're going to take a pause, but we'll be back. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Justin and Holly on Something to Talk About, 90.7 FM. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
And we're back live. Thanks for listening. That's a great song. Love Aretha. Don't you love Aretha, Justin?
I love Aretha.
She's fabulous. So nice. Why'd you pick that song, Tiffany?
I picked that song because the theme of the campaign is government that respects you.
Oh, very nice. And what better song to pick than respect? So during the break, we were just reviewing a few things. You know, Tiffany went over her background, which is very strong in finance and technology. Just for fairness purposes, we will say, you know, this is the first of a series, as I mentioned, with the candidates. The current mayor, Bill Hollenbeck, will be in studio at some point in the future. We'll advertise that for his session alone. And then at some point during September, and we're hoping right before election, Election Day, we will have both of the candidates in studio at the same time for a live debate. So we're looking forward to that, and we appreciate both candidates' willingness to participate, you know, to come and talk with us individually, but then also to come and have a live debate together. We think that's really exciting. So current Mayor Bill Hollenbeck will be in studio with us in the near future, so stay tuned for that. But back to Tiffany.
Well, I'm looking at Tiffany's website, and she was just talking about respect, and she's pretty much got an 8-point plan here, respect for just about everything. But I wanted to ask you a little bit if you could talk about your respect for the parks and what your campaign has planned to show the respect for parks.
So we have these beautiful green and beautiful park spaces in Hudson that are underutilized and crumbling. And that's something I would like to see change. So I'm looking out the window. I see the park at 7th and Warren. There's a fountain with that looks like it's in two cages. So not terribly inviting. I'm there all the time with my kids because we live just a block up the street. It's not a place where you can ride scooters or skates because the ground is cracked and it's very hard. It's even hard to push a stroller through there. There is often a lot of garbage around. There are, if anyone walks their dog there, there are chicken bones and all kinds of.
Well, if you were listening 2 weeks ago, we witnessed a drug deal.
Oh, right,
yeah,
here.
Right.
On air.
In the morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
early risers.
Patsy Leader did. So.
Shout out, Patsy.
The early bird gets the worm.
Or in this case, the crab.
And that's not exactly something you want happening in the park with your children.
Right.
But just functionally, they don't. The parks have a lot of potential. They could be better used by families and by everyone. You know, just this park, for example, as I look out, could have tables where people could sit and have lunch. Right now, it's just an odd smattering of benches.
There's actually no
table. No table. No table. The fountain without the statue that used to be in the middle of the fountain. And when we were younger, the statue was in the corner of the park. That's been gone a long time, but I know that it exists, and there are a lot of people that have a desire to bring that back.
Hmm.
Same thing with the park at Front Street, with Promenade Hill. That's a park that I spent so much of my childhood going to. Mm-hmm. That's where we learned. That's where we did all of our roller skating tricks. And
you were born and raised here in Hudson.
In Hudson.
And a lot of people don't know that.
I was, yes. And that, you know, that was our spot. That's mm-hmm. where we always went. And now it's not, I know that that Tiffany Grieg has been working on really pushing getting a ramp so that people are able to access the upper part of the park, which I think is tremendous. Mm-hmm. And also just making it more, a little bit more reflective of the community that uses it. So she's been working on getting the mural put in the park. Things like that.
And she's got the sprinklers going for the kids during the summer, which is a nice touch.
Oh, that's
nice.
Yeah. And apparently.
And do you think Oakdale is underutilized?
I think Oakdale is underutilized. I just had a walk down there last night, in fact. So we've got a skate park that I think it was something like a $50,000 skate park that is underused. There's a sign on it that says you have to have a youth department ID card at all times to be there. And then another sign that says you need to be a Hudson City School District resident to use it. I don't really understand why that restriction would be there, why it wouldn't be open to everyone.
Who controls that?
I don't think it's enforced.
Right, right.
But it's it certainly raised the question, why...
Can maybe see that it might be to prevent, like, what was happening here at the skate park, like the drug deal kind of activity, mm-hmm. perhaps, maybe. But, again, if they're not going to enforce it, why...
Right.
Go there, but and you brought up actually something when you mentioned Tiffany, because I wanted to ask you about, you know, there was a magazine article that stated that Hudson is one of the top 20 richest or top 10 richest
number 17
cities. Yeah, top 20
micro, it was micro cities,
yeah.
Or
but Tiffany had a comment on Facebook about how there's a number of a really disgustingly number of homeless children in the city of Hudson. And so there is that, mm-hmm. there's that, you know, difference in, you know,
there's a great disparity.
People talking about that. Is it good? Is it bad? What are your thoughts on the city of Hudson being one of the most, the richest 17 on the list? But then again, we have this dichotomy of, that might be the word of the day, Justin.
Yeah.
There's these differences.
I'll have to consult my thesaurus.
Yes. there's definitely, a great income disparity. And people feel that. I think that we need to focus on affordable housing. That's something that absolutely has to happen. I don't believe that the current setup of having the only affordable housing in town being kind of being clustered together. Studies and history has shown that it's not a successful model, and it doesn't do anything to empower people. So that's something that needs to change. And it's affordable housing is just a huge issue in Hudson. I know plenty of people that have looked for rentals that are completely priced out. Mm-hmm. And it's the same for people that are looking to buy homes. They're also priced out. In terms of the number that Tiffany quoted on homeless students, I need to dig into that number more, because I know that, I'm assuming that it's based on the number of students that are eligible for McKinney-Vento within the school district, that it may mean that they're in transitional housing. So I need to better understand everyone that's included in that number before I can further comment on it. But clearly it is an issue and something that needs to be addressed. And there, with time and with a lot of... a lot more communication and a lot more openness, the divide that's there, the economic disparity won't be as big of an issue. And also with providing more opportunities, more job opportunities, more training opportunities, it gives people the chance to shift into a different mode.
Very good. We did have another question from Facebook. Is it possible to televise Common Council meetings?
Well, the Common Council meetings used to be recorded. I know that the Udells, Dan and Mary Udell, right, were taping the Common Council meetings, recording them, and they stopped doing it because they had some issues with things that were happening at the Common Council level. So they stopped doing that, but I know that there are people that are talking with them, trying to get them to come back and do that. Hudson Forward also recorded some of the Common Council meetings. It's something that we should do for sure, because it would make that information. There's a lot that's lost in the minutes. There's a lot that isn't captured by the Register Star or the Columbia paper when they report on the meetings that people need to be there for. And then there's another issue that I would like to bring up that just,
sure,
it never really occurred to me until last week or the week before, when I went and met with some amazing people at the Independent Living Center here on Columbia Street. City Hall is not handicap accessible. So if you are in a wheelchair and you want to go to a Common Council meeting, you're not able to do that at City Hall. Mm. You have to reach out in advance and request that the meeting be moved.
Wow.
Yes. So I think that's something we really need to look at. That's on a very, just a very basic level when we're looking at full participation, to have an entire segment of the community that simply cannot attend a meeting or can't go in and go to the DPW office or go to the mayor's office or go to the city clerk's office. that's really problematic, and that right. it speaks to the it begs the question of how, you know, how the constituency, how the citizenry of Hudson is actually viewed.
But I don't believe that's just a current administration.
No. Right. It's because the building has an historic designation. Right. There are some
hurdles.
Yeah. Yes.
And I believe there's also a cost, and I'm familiar with that, just mm-hmm. because the county courthouse, until just last year, was not handicap right. accessible. And it was a number. I mean, 10 years I was involved on another level, deputy clerk of the board, when these discussions from OCA first started happening about, you know, this needs to be corrected. And mm-hmm. it took over 10 years for that to be accomplished. So, but it is obviously something that does need to be addressed at
yes.
some point. You're absolutely correct.
It's absolutely yeah. worth starting the process right, right now.
What
of fixing
do you
that.
View as the most, like we mentioned parking previously. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I know that's an issue in the city, and there was plans thrown about. So I wanted to ask you about parking, but I also wanted to ask, when the televised meetings came up, you know, do you view yourself as someone, I know there's been some conflict, let's say, that the Common Council and the mayor's office, and, you know, sometimes they're together, sometimes they're mm-hmm. not, but do you view yourself as someone who can, because it's difficult for the mayor to actually sometimes get things accomplished if mm-hmm. there's discord there, and is, you know, how do you see yourself working with that?
Do you think you're a good bridge? Is what she's asking.
I think yes.
Over troubled waters.
I think that, well, I know that I'm able to work collaboratively and able to navigate very difficult situations, because I've done that for my entire professional career. It's one of the things I've been able to do is separate this business from personal. And at the end of the day, when everyone walks out that door, it's you leave, the business is left behind. And when you walk in the door, the personal is left behind. So while I may come in with things that I personally would like to see, it's not about me. It's about what the city wants, what, you know, what all of the citizens of Hudson collectively want.
Do you see yourself as a bipartisan person?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is a very bipartisan room right here.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm. yeah.
willing to work with all sides.
I really don't have any time for partisan politics. I think it's a huge waste of time. And I believe that the Common Council wants a productive working relationship. It doesn't do any good to just infighting and digging your heels in doesn't do anyone any good. And it really wastes a lot of time, a lot of resources. And this is, you know, we're looking at spending our tax dollars wisely. Let's spend our tax dollars wisely.
So let's talk about parking. What do you have ideas for the parking problems in Hudson?
There are some serious issues around parking. I think that, you know, there's the proposed parking permit plan. It's a really good in how it works practically. I've lived in Los Angeles, where I've lived in permitted neighborhoods, and it was definitely needed. Had we not had permits on our streets, we never would have been able to park. And that's, at least up around the hospital, that's what precipitated right. the permit parking plan, because the hospital made a change in policy. And I think a lot of people don't know this. I think a lot of the discussions that I've heard, people don't understand that the hospital decided to change their policy for employee parking. So employees that used to park in the parking garage during the day were no longer able to park there. And what it did is it pushed all of those hospital workers out to parking on residential streets. And I noticed the difference immediately. It's a matter mm-hmm. of getting up in the morning, you take your kids to school, you come back, there's nowhere to park. Mm-hmm. And that is becoming an issue throughout the city. So it will be something that we'll have to consider citywide. So I don't know if it's a permit parking plan necessarily that you do for the entire city, but there are more creative ways of handling that. You know, I also think that we could take a good hard look at the metered parking and make sure that where the meters are makes sense. Maybe, you know, should we have metered parking? Shouldn't we have metered parking? Should businesses have permits? There are all sorts of things that we right. can consider. And that ties into making Hudson a friendly city for people to visit, because parking is a huge issue. Say you have a bed and breakfast and it's the winter and you have visitors coming in, and they come in and there's a snow emergency and all of a sudden their car is gone. If you don't know to look on the city's website, which doesn't always accurately reflect what the parking situation is that hour, or listen to the local radio station, then you don't know. And people that come in from out of town won't know that.
Right.
So that's problematic. The alternate side parking every night doesn't make any sense to me. As far as I know, the street cleaner doesn't come by every night.
That's what I was going to say. Was that started just to clean the streets?
For street cleaning.
And the street, yeah, they don't clean the streets.
I think it might be two nights a week. It's usually around 4 a.m. because I'm an early riser and I hear the street cleaner go by. Mm. I would say that we should only alternate on the nights when the street cleaning actually occurs and have it posted in the city. Mm. Having it posted at the city limits doesn't help people that aren't from Hudson. We all know, okay, every night we need to move our cars. But if you are in town for 2 days, how do you know that? There's nothing. You're on Warren Street. You look at the signs. You think you're fine. You're ticketed.
How do you feel about parades in the city? Warren Street, not Warren Street.
I was about to burst into, I love a parade.
I love a parade.
But I will spare you all my voice this morning, my singing voice. Parades are very much a part of the fabric of our community. It's, as kids, parades were a huge deal. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love all of them. I think that that we need to, it's part of that it's very much Americana. It's like, mm-hmm, small town, right, America.
Yeah.
And something that we can all go to, have fun, and be proud of. Really, really important for the community. I love the Flag Day Parade. I love the Pride Parade. I go to all the parades. I think that we could also do a better job of advertising parades. So on Memorial Day, for instance, there was a parade, but I couldn't find on the city website what time the parade started. So,
right. And there's one on Veterans Day as well.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And through communication, right, better communication, everyone can be aware of when parades and when other events are happening, so they can, because I know a lot of people do want to come out and,
right,
experience the parades and participate.
Well, there's been some talks. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No.
There's been some talk about moving the parades from Warren Street, mm-hmm, over to Columbia. What do you feel about that?
I think that was addressed, but yeah, what do you?
I think it was. Quite honestly, and this may not be a popular stance, it's a Main Street event, right? It's it has traditionally been a Main Street event. There were parades that did way back go down Union Street and go down all the streets, in fact, longer parades. But
good Lord.
But if you're looking at having
maybe we should just have six simultaneous parades down all the main streets and Hudson,
and we
so that everybody's
all
happy
in one day. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
Boston, wow.
Block off
all different themes going down each street.
No vehicular traffic on any street in
that?
Hudson.
That makes everybody happy.
Block all the streets. That's right. Yeah.
Just plug up everything.
But only for one day. That's
just
right.
For one day.
There you go.
Get it all done.
And I know that that can be tough.
Easy peasy.
It definitely has an impact on businesses. So. So we have to look at ways that that businesses can still make money on those days.
Right.
But it is a Main Street event.
We are almost running out of time. We're counting down. We have to get to Weather with Weaver and some little news tidbits that we want to pass off. But Tiffany, leave us with some parting words. Why why mayor? Why should we?
Why mayor?
Why mayor?
Well,
why you, mayor?
Yeah.
It's a question I've asked myself many times. I believe that Hudson is ready for a really significant change. Many people are frustrated with the process, and we need a fresh set of eyes. We need someone and this is not to say that the person that currently sits in the mayor's office doesn't care, because I think he cares tremendously. I love Hudson. It's my home. I chose to come here after being away for almost 20 years and raise my family, because it's in my heart. It's at the core of who I am. there are many opportunities that we're missing. And I don't know that if we continue along the path that we are, that we'll be able to leverage those opportunities. And we also have some very, very serious issues facing us. And if we don't start to tackle those issues in a common sense way with significant planning, very careful, thoughtful planning, we are going to find ourselves in trouble 5 years from now. And I don't want to see that happen financially. In terms of the city infrastructure, these are all things that we need to fix, and we need to work on that right now.
Very good.
And I will do that for Hudson.
Well, thank you,
we've
Tiffany.
We've been very honored to have you in our presence today, and we should remind people that the primary to
is
vote
Thursday, September 10th.
Is lost in my paperwork. It's when?
Thursday, September 10th.
Thursday, September 10th, and actual election day is?
Is Tuesday, November 3rd.
Perfect. And this is the first, as Holly mentioned at the start of the show, of three events that we're going to have here on our show. We started with you. We're going to have Mayor Hollenbeck in next, and then hopefully get two of you, the both of you, together to, I hate the word debate, just talk.
Discuss. I would love that.
Great.
Perfect. Well, we'll be in touch about that, and we'll let all of our listeners know. So thanks, Tiffany, for coming in. We appreciate it. And
thank
we'll
you
be
both.
In touch for... setting up the discussion.
Oh yeah, Rob's
event.
Still here. Look,
Rob
Rob's still
is here.
Hi, Rob.
Rob, come
yes,
on.
Yes, I am still here.
Well,
do you have anything to say?
No, I just elections are won and lost by one vote, and it's really important
True.
That people get out there and exercise your right, because this is a small community, and
right.
there have been elections that have been lost literally by one vote. So.
That's very true. Absolutely. Well, thank you again both for coming in.